Audio recording of Wikimania 2006. Copyright 2006 by George Criss, G-C-H-R-I-S-S at psu.edu. Released under the GNU Free Documentation version 1.2 and Creative Commons Attribution version 2.5 dual licenses. You may select the license of your choice. http://wikimania2006.wikimedia.org.
Okay, so hi everyone, my name is Jim Giles, I'm a reporter for the Nature magazine. So thank you for the organizers for inviting me to come and talk. I'm going to be talking about a story which I led with a group of reporters in December last year, which compared some scientific articles to the people of Tarka and caused a bit of fuss and caused a pretty robust reply from Britannica. My editor said, you can only go if you assume that I'm the club of lawyers for Britannica in the audience. So, if you could just note that I think Britannica is a wonderful product. So let me just start with a quick thing about what Nature is, just to clarify. Nature is known for being scientific journal. Here's one of our articles we published recently. It's an old, famous journal. It's Right Science magazine. They're the biggest rivals. It's unusual in terms of scientific journals in that it also has a news section. So that piece next to one I called in Crossfire is a news piece from the front of the magazine. About 10 to 20 pages of news every week in Nature, and that's just straightforward journalism. The type of stuff you get in New Scientist or in the science pages in the New York Times or whatever, anything like that. I'm a reporter, not an academic, so my piece was in the news section. So when Jim mentioned it earlier, he was talking about study, which is fine, but it's quite important to point out that it's not really a study, it's a piece of journalism, it's not a sort of peer-reviewed piece of science. So, anyway, why am I interested in Wikipedia? Well, about a sort of sometime last year, there were all these sort of articles floating around, quite a few pieces of those. This isn't from the Guardian, the UK newspaper, where they sent out a bunch of Wikipedia articles to experts, and they said, can you rate and tell us how good those articles are? And this was sort of interesting to me, because I looked around the Nature offices, and I realised so many people in the we're using Wikipedia. And we were using it in a sort of slightly cautious and uncertain way because it looked absolutely great and we were making mistakes, but we had no idea how accurate it was. So our sub-editors who do the fact-checking would frequently look at Wikipedia articles, but they can't actually use them to say definitively, you know, this is therefore I don't need to check it anymore. So we thought, well, why don't we just take a sort of first stand trying to determine how accurate Wikipedia is. And to do that, why don't we use Britannica as a benchmark? Britannica seems to us sort of an obvious thing to compare it against. Not necessarily the best thing, just sort of an obvious place to start. Why don't we compare it with Britannica? I should have said at the beginning, I'm going to sort of talk a little bit about mythology now. If anything's unclear, just interrupt me, and there will be time for questions. First of all, we sat down, me and some colleagues, and we tried to sort of brainstorm 50 articles that we could use as a basis for our comparison. The idea was to go across the scientific spectrum, and also to not just think about ideas or theories, but to think about people, events, organisations, the Royal Society, for example, was one of the more topics we chose to attend. Once we chose the 50 things that we thought were kind of representative of the ideas and ways to compare, we basically went to Britannica and Wikipedia and we asked, are the two articles here that we can compare? As you can expect, in many cases the answer is no. There's many more scientific articles on Wikipedia. They're often longer, and you know, we didn't think that they could compare a massive, you know, article in Wikipedia with a much shorter one in Britannica, or vice versa. So we had to refine that somewhat, you know, several of the topics that we've got ditched and then replaced with ones where there wasn't a better pair. In the end, we ended up with 50 articles, which are approximately the same length that we could expect. extract from both sources. We then stripped out those articles, remove any formatting, put them into Word documents, and sent each pair to an expert. So this stripping out was some attempt to provide a little bit of blinding, but it wasn't obvious which came from which. Of course, this is not perfect blinding because it takes a second for someone to go and check. But it's a start, you know, and I'm pretty confident that most people didn't do that because the people that we chose bought into what we were trying to do. And we assigned each pair to an expert. So we were lucky that Nature had a full bunch of academic editors who we could go to and say, okay, we're going to compare the entries on the Royal Society. And they would say, well, that's because this historian here is in the middle of writing a book about the history of the Royal Society. Go to him. So we got really, really good people to do this. And what we asked these people to do was to look for inaccuracy. There were three sorts of things that we asked them to look for. One was a straightforward factual error. So the Royal Society was formed in this day. No, it wasn't formed in another day before. That's pretty straightforward. Secondly, we asked them to look for misleading statements. So this is a bit more sort of difficult to define, but also we thought an important part of inaccuracy. So this could be a statement that on its own wasn't particularly wrong, but maybe in the context in which it was used would mislead the reader. And if you look at the inaccuracies that our experts found, you'll see that many fell into that category. It could also be we had a problem with terminology in physics or in any branch of science. There's a whole bunch of words that mean one thing to scientists and another thing to the general public. And it's sort of important to state at this stage that we were looking at this exercise from the point of view of a reader who came to one of these sources. So if someone used a scientific word in a way that would mislead the reader, we would generally count that as a misleading statement. And the first inaccuracy that we asked them to look for was a critical omission. And we were pretty careful how to define this. We're not interested in, obviously, there is no sort of, there's a million things that can be omitted from any article on any one person. We asked them, our experts, really to sort of focus on the things that were so big that if you don't include it in an article about that person, you just haven't done it justice. Take a sort of stupid example, if you write an article about the electron and you forget to say that it's negatively charged, well, you haven't done it really. No one did that. That's the main point. Then the results came in. A few people totally misunderstood what we wanted them to do. A few people just couldn't be bothered despite having agreed to do it. But in the end, we ended up with 42 comparatives that we could use. And then me and my colleagues sat down and we went through all of the, we call them referee reports, and we sort of tallied up the number of inaccuracies. And this was pretty important because referees made a whole bunch of statements like, this article's really badly written, which was probably true, but not one of the things that we were expecting. They also said, well, you really should have included what we thought was just a trivial detail, which might have been important to them, but again, we're trying to think about the general reader's approach. Okay, so if something very minor was missing, we wouldn't necessarily have counted it as an omission. But by and large, we didn't throw out that many comments. Most of the things that people listed as an inaccuracy made it into our We also did it enough for a minor point about blinding. We were also blind to which entry we were reviewing. So it was like entry one had these problems with it, and then at the end, after we tallied them, I think that one was good. So, what did we find? So those are the sort of two headline figures, close to four errors for article in Wikipedia and three in Britannica. Worth pointing out as well that they were. And these are all up, go and have a look at them on our website. Very, very few major errors. We found 8 in total people classed as major errors. There were 4 from each source. Even so, they're not sort of glaring, horrible errors. You know, like saying someone was a Nazi when they weren't a Nazi. They were really, maybe calling them major errors is misleading. We just wanted to point out that most of the errors were trivial, perhaps getting a date out by a year, perhaps doing something that unintentionally was going to mislead a reader. And there were just 4 in each case that were a little bit more serious than that. And then we stop there in terms of our data analysis. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other things that you could do, and it's really nice when these results went up. Some people on the Wikipedia discussion pages did go and do some more analysis of the results. For example, comparing the length, so you've got errors per line, something like that. Again, how exactly how I did it. And that's really nice. I don't think that's really appropriate given the data. As I said, this is a journalistic exercise. Something that should be taken forward. I really hope I sort of community of information scientists. So we didn't go and crunch the numbers, because it's a snapshot comparison to the thing to be appropriate. So what happened next? Here's something that we found in March, and it was about 24 pages long. I think it went up on their website. And here, if you just read this bit at the bottom, this is one of the nicest things anyone's ever said about something I've written. And that pretty much sums it up. We've got everything wrong. It was so wrong that it was fatally flawed, and the whole thing was worthless, and we had to retract it. So a little bit of background, what happened between publishing in December and this thing appearing in March. We had spoken to Britannica prior to publication, that's good journalistic practice. They made some comments, which were included in the piece. After that, they contacted us and they said, can we have the data? We supplied them with almost all the data, more on that in a minute. They sent us a couple of letters, saying, well, you've got this wrong. We replied saying, actually, we don't think we're wrong. Then there was a silence, and then this appeared. And the silence was, I'm pretty sure, a period during which they had a whole bunch of experts, and I know one of them, who was asked to go and look at the same articles again and make and sort of redo the comparison and to critique what was done. And at the end of this document, they go through a whole bunch of what they say are supposed errors of Britannica, and they explain why they're not really errors. So what I thought, this is, like as I said, 24 pages long. I could sort of spend a long time trying to explain why we don't agree with them, but I think that would be quite boring. So what I've just done is pick out a few points I want to talk about. But I'm totally happy to take questions. Any other ones that people are interested in, just afterwards, or grab them for a copy or something. So, okay, this is a point that we didn't like at all. Data was not released. The history of this is that they said to us, can you send us all the articles that you sent out for review? We did that, and then we sent them. Those were the articles, Britannica and Wikipedia. We sent them all of that stuff, and they asked us for more information. We supplied more information. Until a certain point, they said, can you send us the full referee's report? At which point we said no, because for 2 reasons. One, the referee's reports were intended for us. They weren't intended to go to commercial people involved with the product. Probably more important from our point of view is that our referees were told that they would be anonymous. We gave them the option afterwards of revealing who they were, almost all chose not to reveal their identity. They sent a referee report to the cases, made it pretty clear who was the person that wrote it. For example, the guy that's writing the book about the Royal Society, it's pretty obvious from what he writes that it was him. I'm not saying Britannica can do anything unpleasant, but this is sort of the way that academia works. Give something a report, and once you don't expect it to be sent out to the people who criticize it. So we refused to do that, and that was a big complaint from Britannica. Content came from other Britannica sources. They said, well, you sent the expert stuff from a Britannica student site for people. It's crazy. So we did, and it's not crazy. We were reviewing the two sources from the point of view of the reader that came to them online. We made that pretty clear. Now, if you go and you search on a particular topic on Britannica.com, you quite often get a result from their yearbook or from their student encyclopedia top. And it's often not clear that it's come from that source. So, from the point of view of the general reader, that is the most important article on Britannica.com that they're often reading. So we thought that was the appropriate thing to compare with the Wikipedia piece. They also say that they ask you to cite those articles that are coming from Encyclopedia Britannica online. So again, it seems like an appropriate thing to do. Also, the bottom line is, if you've got something wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter if it's a student article or not. You could say, well, what about critical omissions? There's less information there. You don't expect to have so much detail. again, we try to counter that by when we're going through the referee's report, well, but is this really a critical issue, or is it about sort of nitpicking the points made by an athlete? So we did our task to do that. So the material was edited, this had a chemical problem, it sounded like we've rewritten their pieces in an attempt to sort of undermine the whole business. What actually happened is that in a very small number of cases, we needed to combine two botanical articles. I think the most notable one was the article on ethanol. If you search on ethanol, botanical.com, you get the top two results are ethanol and uses of ethanol. It just so happens that Wikipedia combines them into one piece. So it seemed like the fairest thing to do was to combine two Britannica things, also into one piece, and compare them to a single Wikipedia article. In a small number of cases, we did things like that. And then the last point, and I guess probably the most interesting one, is they said reviewers made mistakes. And this is what the bulk of that document is. They listed a whole bunch of mistakes that our reviewers said. In some cases, I mean, I haven't been through... Okay, I should take a step backwards. We didn't check our reviewers before. We assumed that because we'd chosen the right people, when they identified inaccuracy, they were right. It's almost certain that in some cases, they were wrong. You know, it's just impossible. No matter how well-versed you are with a topic, you're going to get stuff wrong. It's bound to happen. The critical thing here is that this is a comparative exercise, and the same person was reviewing both articles. So I'm quite happy. I don't think it's a disaster if they made the occasional mistake. And we picked really good people, but I do think it's only going to be a very occasional mistake. I think the critical thing is it doesn't undermine the comparison because they're equally likely to make a mistake as they are in the time that it was primary.
Did they know which one they were reading? Did you cover up that?
No, well, that's what I said. We stripped out the content put it in the Word document. Yeah. They could have. Of course, they could have gone and checked. We assume most of them.
Or from the formatting and the style.
Again, for the formatting, if you're familiar with the two, you know, you can tell which is which. Yeah. So, yes, they probably did make some mistakes, and when I looked through some of the comments, I thought, well, maybe you're right. In most cases, I thought, I don't agree with you. In a few cases where it was articles that I happen to know a lot about, I can honestly say that some of the problems at the Tanner have dropped are just wrong, and that our review was right. I haven't gone through all of the points they made in great detail, but again, I'm coming back to this idea that the idea was a snapshot comparison of two, and for the reviewers made a full mistake, I don't think it undermines what we're trying to do. So that's basically, I mean, when Britannica's thing came out, there was another, we've got a whole bunch of coverage when the original article came out. Then Britannica's page forward document came out. The media absolutely loved it. There were all these blogs saying, all fights. Too ancient, sort of, piece of knowledge, you know, having a 50,000. It was really fun for everyone to write about. It was kind of traumatic to go through. But it died down, basically. You know, since that first published in March, not a great deal has happened. And I thought, sort of, just to kind of finish up, it might be nice just to, I'm just going to throw out some thoughts on evaluating Wikipedia. And there's obviously like people in the audience, like you guys have spoken, that thought about this in much more detail than I have. So apologies if these things are very naive. These are just sort of thoughts of what my head about what to do. First of all, is Britannica the best benchmark? I mean, we, as I said, we had to reject a lot of the articles we wanted to compare because they weren't in Britannica or they were too short. Britannica is traditionally the gold standard for librarians, which is why we chose it, but maybe it's not the best thing to use to compare to evaluate what we need. How should admissions be dealt with? Well, you can sort of go over that in a moment. How important is timeliness? This was, I expected actually to find a lot of things in Wikipedia. Or I expect to find Britannica articles were wrong because they weren't updated. They didn't know what had just happened. And Wikipedia was sort of lying on that. We didn't actually find that many. I don't know whether that's because Britannica updates more often than the paper, but it's luck or something. But clearly there's an issue. You know, climbing this can make a source more accurate. But how important is it? I mean, is that something you really want to strive for? And here's like this funny thing that happened the other day. Where authors won this totally bizarre piece. But they say Wikipedia is confused about confusing events. Because no one knows what's happened. Here are some updates that happened to Wikipedia, which reflect the fact, you know, that changes could take 3 times a few minutes there, and because new information keeps coming out, if any journalist can tell you this is what.
That was the same transcript of CNN, by the way. The same transcript of CNN reporting it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, essentially.
I like the way she's corrected.
Well, this is the brilliant thing. Reuters, after writing this piece, had to then go back and say, hey, we got it wrong too, because it was confusing.
So, that's a point about time, a tricky thing. Would you compare to writing this, kind of like making sausages? If you watch it too closely, you're going to get disgusted and suspicious.
If you watch it too closely at a moment after a famous person just died and you don't know why this person died, it's going to be a little bit confusing. And then I don't know why I put can style of fantasy generated pronouncing yes. It's more like how to do it. This is something we asked our reviewers actually to ignore, unless the crowd was so forward as messing with the reader. But it's obviously a really important part of the reader's experience, and witness in a way that's clear. Quite a few of our reviewers said this is really hard to read, and generally they were talking about the Wikipedia article. There are sort of metrics for sort of readability and stuff like that. I think it would be really interesting to see when you're appropriate to be able to see what they're going to use.
And the source, Wikipedia, says several Nature reviewers found an article to be poorly structured and confusing, and that was in your report.
Yeah.
Was that glaring? Did they, say, this article is awful, how does that work?
I could dig out the exact articles they were talking about and exactly what they said if you wanted. My memory is that it was just a sort of, at the time I didn't look into it, because if they said this is hard to read, I was like, well, that's not what we're looking at. I don't remember anyone saying, this is just absolutely unintelligible, even though it's actually correct. I don't
it's not a pleasure to read this way.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to reply to what you said a little bit earlier, I think that the whole sample size of evaluating 40-some science articles, I don't think timeliness is much of an issue. You're not going to get much breaking news about the electron.
But we did, we looked at things like particle accelerators. I think one of them was, we might have an article with something to do with CERN, the European Particle Physics Authority, where they're just building a big new particle physics accelerator, and I don't think that Britannica has got sort of exactly what's happening with the LHC, which is a new one. I can't remember the details. But there are sort of the odd case levels. But you're right.
And just to address one other, I noticed at least one of the comments when I was looking through them was there was one reviewer wrote about there was some article on a plant genus.
Yeah.
And the reviewer wrote, this could apply to any of 10 other plant genuses, about the Britannica article.
Uh-huh.
And the Britannica's reply was, we are not a botanical encyclopedia and don't claim to be.
Right.
Which sounds very much to me like it's not a bug, it's a feature.
So we did a few of you work with me out. And that's pretty much it. I just sort of wanted to finish up this was a cartoon that came out. It kind of made me laugh. I really like the fact that our salvo was biting me. That's what we had to do from now on. And everyone writes in, which is okay. And there's my email address. Do get in touch if they want any clarification or just tell us about sort of new and exciting things that are happening on the science pages of Wikipedia. Nature, we think it's a really, really interesting experiment. We wrote an editorial actually that went through the same issue, which basically said to Nature readers, this is a really interesting experiment. Why don't you get out there and contribute? You probably make it better. We also did a reader survey at the same time to ask how many readers were involved and can't remember the facts back to them in the argument again, but the percentage of nature readers at least said they were contributing, which I thought was interesting. So yeah, let me know if there's more interesting stuff about Wikipedia which is in writing. That's it.
Do you contribute yourself?
So what do you think?
Yeah.
Think carefully about your answer.
We know the answer.
What is it?
Yes, of course.
Not much, actually. Every time I go to an article, it already has much more stuff than I know.
This is poor Wikipedia etiquette, but I actually updated the Nature page. Because we had a redesign and we changed the section and it was a little bit out of date. So I went back and said, included the fact we had new sections of writing in there before.
As long as it's factual.
Stick to the factual.
Yeah.
I have kind of a general question to journalists that come into media. A lot of times when I talk to people about Wikipedia, that use it to look like that, but aren't very involved, general people in the population, they think it's great and accessible, and they read these articles, but no one seems to understand about the point about it being free, really. Is there a particular reason that journalists aren't covering that aspect about what the downstream, 20 years from now, this stuff is not copyrighted? I mean, most people seem to just understand that it's out there on the internet, and they can't get it. Right. The fact that the downstream fact is that just not interesting?
So you're saying the journalists aren't emphasizing the fact that it's free?
I don't think they're totally covering it at all. Not necessarily. Most people honestly aren't aware of it. They just know that they can get on it.
Right.
But they don't understand about the fact that it's always free, that anyone that reads the information that they do with it, they must make that free to everyone else.
Yeah.
The images.
Yeah.
It's free in the freedom sense, too, because I think the public sees, it's free, but so is Britannica Web. But Wikipedia is free in an entirely different way, right?
It's
not even just free in the monetary sense.
Well, that's true.
The 50 words.
Yeah.
I mean,
my hunch
is
that... I just think they find out about it. Most people don't know that exists. Well, once they find out about it, they're jaw drops, and they're like, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. At least for people I've talked to.
Not in my experience. I just find you care how much you talk.
I mean, my hunch is that sort of, Wikipedia is a good story for the media, and when someone gets close to it, accused of whatever it was.
What do you do as follows?
Kennedy business.
Yeah.
These are the stories that crack the headline, and the more sort of subtle but really important issues that are there get ignored. How the media works, and the way to combat it is by you guys getting much better talking to the media and keep saying, this is the most exciting thing, we're not writing about it. And eventually, get on the media.
I was just saying, what are you going to do with follow up? Why wouldn't you do that? Just to find the study?
The errors were corrected,
I think that's an important point, comparing the reactions. Wikipedia takes 3 months to criticize you. Wikipedia takes 1 week to correct all errors. I think that's an important difference.
But I think that it's also interesting is that, when the media started covering this story, they really didn't cover the fact that it was only a small sampling of articles. And so then it got blown out to proportion, and your comic right there just... it doesn't even mention that there are scientific articles. It just says Nature Found and Encyclopedia Britannica and Wikipedia are comparable.
This is the way the media works.
Right.
So we have to go on to different on the right side, and we get blown out. And by the end of this train of Chinese wizards, you get these stories that say Nature says Wikipedia is as accurate as Britannica. In fact, some of them start saying it's more accurate. But, I think that's one reason why Britannica would be sort of so angry about. Nature says sounds like a peer-reviewed scientific paper. It doesn't sound like a joke. But there was another question that I've forgotten now. Are we going to do a follow-up? Probably not, because I would really like some rock scientists to do a follow-up, and then I'll write about it. This is, as I said, it's a snapshot study. It's a sort of first step. We're not really equipped to do the scientific peer-reviewed study.
If you ever suggest to a... If you find a scientist doing the follow-up, you should suggest... that they do a three-way comparison, because the question is the article a year from now in Wikipedia more or less accurate? We'd like to believe it's more accurate, but we don't know.
Yeah, sure.
I assume that Wikipedia does have a section on evaluating Wikipedia, which is a sure.
I'm the featured article director, so the featured articles you see on the main page, I kind of direct the whole thing as I'm up there. There's a review page, there are two review pages actually, three review pages actually. There's the peer review page, which is pretty quiet, doesn't get too much traffic. There's the good articles page, and then there's the featured article candidates page, and all three of those are like levels of review where you can get people, and there's specific criteria they're evaluated against, including, not the least of which are factually accurate, comprehensive, control. And so,
well, I'm taking out more formal methods.
There's also a flyer that someone's put together on Jimmy Mills's. Do you know where it is?
No, obviously, we have pages on external reviews, like lists of, you know, natures of the study, other people have done all these studies.
No, this is, but it's something to send, actually, was designed to hand out to students for evaluating Wikipedia. And I think the one version of that's already out, and a bunch of other people are putting together, not necessarily on Wikipedia itself, but so that people have them as, yeah, here's how to evaluate an article in Wikipedia. And by the way, you might want to do this when you read up
things. No, I'm not evaluating the article for evaluating Wikipedia, the methodology that would be used, you know.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. When, when you're making use of this, this is how you should critically evaluate.
I just have one last question. The Onion had an excellent report.
Yes.
The
other
week, three times to respond to their.
Your reviewers, how much, have you any idea how much time they spend on this and whether they like doing it? Because I think we at Wikipedia would be quite interested if there were people who would go through a number of articles in such a way and maybe help us improve them.
Most of the entries that we've got, most of the reviews we got back were good. So there's obviously thought into it. We've been through the article in some detail. Whether they enjoyed doing it, I don't know. I mean, you have to bear in mind this was Nature asking them to do something. We have great relations with the community, so they didn't like to say yes. Yet when we asked them to say who they were, they didn't want to do that. So that makes it difficult. But what I could do is send me an email to remind me to do it. It's just to send an email to all our reviewers saying that, you know, at this conference you said, would you like to get involved? You know, and I can sort of flag it up that the Wikipedia community would like sort of them to help me review the article.
When you do that, could you also ask if they've contributed to Wikipedia?
Yeah, well, we've got, have a look at the article as a result of a survey where we asked our readers whether they contributed.
Yeah, but you're a reviewer.
As a reviewer.
Yeah.
Okay, I can ask them that, sure. I do remember quite a few reviewers saying, what is Wikipedia?
I was just wondering if any other journals or newspapers have done similar studies. They know a lot of journalists who are skeptical about the accuracy of Wikipedia.
The only thing that I found that was close to what we did was in a German computer science magazine, where they did something pretty similar. I think they just looked at computer science afterwards.
Yeah, that was CQ.
Yes, it was CQ. But I haven't seen, and has anyone else seen sort of something similar?
There was a South African paper that did one on South African related topics.
Okay. I think there's two people I think normally bring to.
Can I ask you if this article had anything to do with Nature's movement to a more open online peer review system? Or was that entirely coincidental?
You mean the debate?
Yeah.
No, it's entirely coincidental. Okay. We've got, at the moment we're running a debate, a sort of an experiment basically, where we're putting up some of our submitted papers for open peer review. And this is, you know, open peer review is becoming a way in some people are sort of trying to see if it works.
Regarding the academic follow-up for the peer review, there was just an interesting article this June in a Journal of American History. If you remember correctly, I don't remember the name of the reviewer, or to say, not the copy that I can pronounce it. It was initial. The article, among other things, compared Wikipedia to Encarta, and I think American database of biographies or some kind of restricted academic database. And in a conclusion, basically it was said that Wikipedia is better than Encarta, and it's not as good as this closed database, but it has much more impact because everybody can look at it, and I think in one or two cases, article quality is already similar.
They're in German history.
Yeah, it's online. I remember reading that.
Typical for Wikipedia, Wikipedia academic studies, that should be the